This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, focused on elevating our communication and our leadership skills. In our episode today, we're talking about how we conduct ourselves when competitors speak not up, but down and badmouth you. In general, this is a sad reality that we have to acknowledge in our industry. I was confronted with this a number of times through my 20 years in the transmission shop. And whether you're a business owner, a client service advisor, a manager, a mechanical specialist, transmission specialist, you name it, you will be confronted with negative talk right from within our own industry. And here's the thing. It's usually not blatant, in my opinion. It's not always an overt, those guys are crooks. It's more often, at least a bit more subtle. It's one of those little statements that trickles in that a client repeats back to you, where a competitor says something to the tune of, oh, we do all the same things as O'Neill's, but for half the cost. Or, those guys are the most expensive in town. Now, that was true for us, and we actually loved that one, but that's a separate topic. But one of those topics may be for Hunt Demarest on that one there. But hey, sometimes there's some truth in even the way people say things, but let's talk about how we react to them. When a client comes to you first and foremost with information like this, just think for a second about your natural response, and not just your natural response. Maybe if you're the owner, you have a young advisor behind the counter. What is their natural response? You will find out over time, all on your own, but let's prepare for it. A lot of times we do get defensive, and this was certainly the case for young Craig and middle-aged Craig and probably just even a few years ago, Craig. To be perfectly clear, it's very easy to take offense to those sort of encounters. And when you get defensive and start explaining things differently and list out all your certifications and your warranty and your quality parts, maybe even fire back a little bit about the competitor's reputation, you risk appearing threatened, petty, and unprofessional. So look, no one needs to explain to you or me that not all of our industry is truly professional. There are facilities that do cut corners, facilities that undercut on price without any regard for quality, and there are facilities that badmouth competitors in order to win business. What I will say is that how we conduct ourselves in such moments matters. It can set us apart as true ambassadors, automotive service profession, not just participants in some race to the bottom. So what do we do instead? That is our topic for today. And we have a word for today as well. A word I often butcher, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Again, magnanimous is our word of the day. We will define that word for you after we hear a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Stop stressing over your business. You deserve a good night's sleep. The Institute's coaching helps you achieve success and financial peace. Learn more at weareTheInstitute.com/business-assessment. AutoFlow is your partner in technology. With AutoFlow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how AutoFlow makes it simple, visit AutoFlow.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers? No one likes that. Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io. Okay, we are back. And our word of the day is magnanimous. And magnanimous is an adjective. It means showing generosity and nobility, especially toward a competitor or rival. So when you speak well of a competitor who's been trashing you, you're being magnanimous. And that quality is what separates professionals from the rest. So listen, today, as a matter of fact, as I was preparing to record this specific topic for this episode, I was in a meeting where I overheard Cecil Bullard from the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence, key sponsor of our program. I heard him, it wasn't on this topic, but he said something about industry messaging in general, and I wrote down what he said. He said, our messaging must be non-threatening and positive. And that stuck with me as I was preparing for this, because really that's it. That's the general theme for this topic. Non-threatening and positive. Ooh, very good. When a competitor speaks down about you, you respond by speaking up, not always about them. It doesn't even need to be about them, but up about the industry, up about your community of professionals that you work with. So let me give you the framework, and then I'm going to walk you through a few real examples that I had been confronted with from my 20 years in the transmission specialty in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So here's your framework. When a client mentions what a competitor said about you, one, firstly, resolve not to speak down to the client or about the competitor, and avoid taking personal offense or acting defensively. For those of you who have heard me mention this book before, there's a great book called Unoffendable by Brant Hansen, Christian author. Great point for everybody. It'd be a great read. If you're in a market where this is a common thing, I would encourage you to pick that book up immediately. Don't take personal offense to this. And sometimes owners, you'll have to tell your advisors this as well, because a lot of times you get some folks in there that, wow, they're enthusiastic. They're excited about your business. They take a lot of pride in working there, and they'll take it personal almost as much as you might in a scenario where you either get a bad review or something like this. But it starts with a resolution to really maintain a higher level of communication on this. And I think that's going to help set the stage for the rest. Number two, when you are confronted with a situation like this, we'll give you a few examples in a moment. Acknowledge the customer's real concern. They're not attacking you, even your competitor in many ways, not actually about you. It's more about them. I do consider it a positive sign that a client mentions any kind of bad mouthing that has occurred from a competitor to you. A lot of people might silently just go away. But in a case where they actually do bring it to your attention, they're indicating that they are worried about their investment or making the right choice or do not fully trust you yet, but they do trust you enough to have a conversation. And that's something. Number three, earn their respect before you explain any differences that may actually exist between you and your competitor. This is critical. You cannot explain why you're worth more until you've earned the right to do that. How? Number four, let your professionalism create the contrast. The way you respond proves who they can trust. So let's look at the most common thing now that I confronted in the transmission specialty in my past. And it was awful sometimes when this happened. Client will say, oh, that facility on 28th Street said they do the same work that you do for half the cost. They do all the same things in transmissions that you do for half the cost. And it was almost always that phrase. And very specifically, half the cost. Evidently, we were twice as expensive as anything else. Oh, and for years, I had the wrong response to this. And I did for years. You just launch into it. It's like, well, they don't do the same work, sir. They don't do this. They don't buy that. We use the Transgo shift kits, not these other ones. And we do this and that and da, 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 da. We can bombard them with all of the facts of the things that we do that we know are better. And it's probably true. Everything you say might be completely true because it is, but you sound defensive. And it's now really in the customer's perspective, just one shop versus another with two conflicting sets of facts that a client is left to choose between with incomplete information that you cannot complete for them. You couldn't, especially in my business with transmission work and the sheer complexity of the differences and the types of quality of things that you could do in a transmission and a full rebuild. Oh my goodness, make your head spin. And it made clients' head spin. And that's why it also made them more prone to having to address things with a reduction of facts that they could understand, chiefly on a statement that same things, half the cost. What an expression. Ugh. But here's the better approach. And this is the one I eventually did evolve to. I wish I could tell you it's some special formula every single time that's going to get you X results, but it is very conditional on what was said, what the circumstances are, what the client is like and their personality and all the things and the depth of your relationship. There's so many variables here. So take this as you can and just try to get the principles out of this. My approach that I like would sound something more like this. Thanks, Mr. Client, for bringing this to me. I'm sorry that you were told that. What I'd like for you to understand is this. Oh, we actually have a great community of automotive service facilities in our area, and we consistently network with them. In fact, some of our colleagues across town are well-known in the broader industry and are some of the best professionals I know, period. So I really don't know what prompted the people you were talking to say what they did about us. I feel I must resolve to encourage those folks to get more plugged in with the other professionals in our town so they know what we are really like. Saying something like this, I want you to just think about it for a second. What I'm actually doing, and I've really done this, and I really could because we were surrounded by some uniquely amazing professionals in the industry. West Michigan, on the map of some of the coolest people in the industry. A lot of you that listen to the show know them. The Carlsons are not too far from where we were. Ari Knoll, we had Verberg's Automotive down the street from us. We have Grand Rapids Motor Car around us. Phil Tolman's in the county right next door. And there's just so many more names I could go through of people that I think a lot of the listeners, our loyal listeners, would probably recognize. Ryan Kuhlman, what a wonderful guy in our area. He was on episode 3 with us. We did have an amazing and still have an amazing network of professionals in Grand Rapids, Michigan, whom I love. And yeah, a little easier for Craig in the transmission shop to be able to speak to that sort of a network that existed for me. Think about the impact that has on a customer when they hear that versus something else. They're hearing about a positive network versus some individual who has this really baseline statement. Which one stands out? Did I play the shop that badmouthed us? Did I play their game at all? Or did I completely flip the script towards a more professional angle in the industry? That is what I hope that each advisor can learn to take away in this. And it's not always going to be easy. And I do believe shop owners, if you're listening to this on your advisors, make sure they do get plugged into those networks too, and also get to know the other shops in town and the positive relationships that hopefully do exist between them. I know it's different in other markets. Not everybody's got Grand Rapids, Michigan. But what I do is I also expressed empathy for the client's actual experience. Think about how I opened there. I said, thank you for bringing this to me, acknowledging that that's not an easy thing to do for a person. And then I apologized that they were told that. That should strike just about anybody's like, oh, wow. Like, okay, he's apologizing that this happens. Like, well, I guess it's not normal is what I would hope every client takes from that scenario. Like what they experience is unique. Like, oh, wow, it's almost shocking. And it is hopefully shocking. And it is hopefully unique. But by expressing some empathy for their experience, you build a natural credibility and you're drawing attention to that professional network. So subtly, you've revealed that the badmouther is isolated from the professional community, and you've actually even dripped in there that you're interested in helping that facility that's trashing you. And I hope that that's true, because that hopefully is our interest. It is absolutely in your interest that you do help that facility to stop being that way if you have the power or capability to do so. And we did all of that without saying really any negative word about that other facility. In fact, you've positioned yourself as a connected, respected, and gracious individual. Who are you going to trust in that conversation? So the badmouther, in that case, outside the professional community, unknowledgeable, actually, about you and in need of your help. And I think all those things are fair and true in that statement. You don't have to use those words in that. But I think the example stands. I do consider that non-threatening and positive messaging.
Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at wearetheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the AutoFlow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love AutoFlow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an AutoFlow trial. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is the single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees, just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors.
With this footing, I think this is a perfect spot to then shift to, we call it the APAC model that we discussed in episode 31 with my friend Dennis McCarron. Remember APAC, APAC, acknowledge, probe, answer, confirm. Acknowledgement would look like this. You would say to the client, hey, once you're in this footing, you can do this. Sounds to me like you're looking to get your vehicle working as economically as possible. We can help you with that. That's it. Simple redirect, really. You're not defending your price. You're not attacking theirs. You're acknowledging their actual concern, which is the economy, and you're reassuring them that they're in the right spot, right? Now we can probe. And the important question I would ask, if with that specific example I gave, your question might be different in different cases, is price your only concern? It puts the client in the position to have to express if they do have other doubts or concerns or frustrations that they may have experienced, or maybe they just don't like you. I don't know. Whatever it is, you're going to probe. They're hopefully going to tell you, and you've had enough of a professional stance in this case that the likelihood of them engaging you in further conversation should be very, very high. Not 100%. Not everyone will. Some are already resolved to tow the car away, but this is the approach. And if there are no other concerns and price is truly it, that opens the door for you to enter what I consider part of a natural sales process where you give them options and they make an approval. So APAC ends with answer and confirm. So you offer an answer to their problem through potentially options or different economic rings. You're going to explain value and the differences in warranties and why option A and option B is better than the other. And they may end up making the correct choice of letting you do the full quality work for the full price that you already started with. And boom, on your way, they confirm with their signature and off you go. Now, I wish I could say the process always ends with you winning the job. It does not. Sometimes the answer is you have to go learn what it's like to deal with unprofessional folks. And it's okay that that customer, not a client in this case, may do so. And you will simply have to express that you genuinely hope it does all go well. But if it doesn't, we'll be here for you when it needs to be done right. And they will remember every interaction with you being professional and that that was true. And they'll know it's true, especially once they hit the problems that are almost sure to come from an unprofessional facility. Here's the principle. You cannot explain value until you've earned trust and respect. And again, we do that by contrasting ourselves with professional communication, speaking up, not down. So let's take an escalated scenario for the fun of this here too. Let's talk about a real hard one, a hard case. And some of you are in communities that may resemble this. Sometimes the poison runs deep. The competitor really convinced them that you are ripoff artists and absolutely just the devil in the industry, and they want their car out now. If you haven't been confronted with that sort of a scenario, God bless you. If you have, it is so, so hard and so, so frustrating. But this is, again, where APAC absolutely can save some sanity. Acknowledge, right? Acknowledgement in this scenario would look like this. I can hear you're really frustrated and concerned about this. Just simply acknowledge it. Like, you might even say some statements like, oh, you don't trust us. You think we're ripping you off. I mean, repeat back the words they use to them and let them know that you hear that. It's disarming. Even in a high stress sort of an environment, that's going to be disarming. And you probe, what specifically were you told that makes you feel this way or has you so worried? Ask them and hopefully they'll give it to you. That, depending on how out there some people can get in scenarios like this, the responses may vary, but there's a high likelihood if you've acknowledged effectively and retain some calm composure as you do so, not elevating and mirroring their anger and frustration, it's higher likelihood you'll get something out of them that you can actually work with. And maybe you can finally answer and confirm and address the real problem. But look, answering their problem does not mean you're this God's gift to advising or counseling clients and bringing people out of bad states. Sometimes it just means acknowledging that their answer in this case is this, like, hey, I agree. If this is how you feel, I believe the best thing to do is to get your car towed to this other facility. And this is how we're going to help make sure that this happens smoothly. Is that really what you want? Confirm this. And they'll say yes, right? Or something like that. And that's fine. And document the declined work. Like we talked about in episode 71, wish them well, but keep the communication on the upper side of things. You have to do it. Your professionalism in this sort of scenario is going to be the contrast. Now, I wouldn't even consider this one I want to win back sometimes, but there may be opportunities for this person to learn some hard lessons and maybe they'll become a client down the road. You just don't know. Even when you lose the service order, if you keep your talk up, you win. This is good for you and your network, because if you didn't burn the bridge for them and the other facility does fail them, your team, for one, gets to see you that you handled things and under intense pressure very professionally. And a shop that speaks unprofessionally will do so in other situations. So this competitor who may have won this angry customer, I assure you, most of you need no assurance in this. You've seen it before. That will come to a head there as well. The customer is going to probably have some unprofessional conversations with that individual. You can almost bank on it. But hey, if you just believe that your network respects how you conduct yourself, you're going to sleep good at night. You're going to feel just fine. I know it's a little more stressful when the shop is super slow and maybe you really needed to win that job, but that is not a job to win. That would be headache down the road. You have to imagine a customer who you barely win in those scenarios. If you do get the job and then one little thing goes wrong, oh, it's just a nightmare scenario then. It's often way better that they go down the road and treat them well as you do. All of this, I think, will resonate well with experiences most of you have, but I'm going to challenge each and every one of us. And this was a real challenge for me. I had some things that made this very difficult. There's a preventative move that you have at your disposal all the time. And it's the hardest thing in the world to do. If you have a competitor who's consistently badmouthed you, walk into that facility and introduce yourself. Shake hands, be human, have a conversation. It might not go smooth. They might not love that you're in there at all, but you can try. And I think that trying is really important because, look, it is really tough to trash someone you've met face to face who's only ever treated you with kindness. And hopefully that's the only way we've treated them. I know that may not always be true in some more contentious markets, but you can start to recover it, right? And you may find as well that what happened was an incident with a young advisor at that facility who wasn't doing what the owner would have wanted them to do in that case. And that's an owner-to-owner talk that often can even plant the seeds of further friendship, collaboration. They may become colleagues, right? For our shop, we enjoyed having those types of colleagues that would give us a call
If a client called them to price shop, phone ring, it's George's transmission. They said, hey, just a courtesy call. You had a client with a Ford Explorer? Yeah. Hey, they were price shopping. We told them they're in good hands. What do you think we do if someone was calling on them? We'd tell them the same thing. We'd give them a little heads up and we'd speak positively to each other. Wow. What an amazing thing when a client is talking to two shops and they wanted to call and see if they're better price. Oh, you're out there? Oh, they're wonderful. Oh, what they are? Wow. The industry is talking about themselves this way. What an amazing thing. Those were some of the coolest clients in the world. I loved it when they would come back in the shop and say, yeah, you know, we called and I understand that you guys are a little expensive, but so-and-so down the street, they said, you guys are good guys. So that's why we're here. That's amazing. And of course, we want to go and thank our friends in the industry whenever that happens. So a few takeaways as we wrap this up. I hope you took away a few things from this conversation or just started thinking about your approach on this or conversations you might need to have with your young advisor. Make sure we're not winning jobs by bad mouth and oh my goodness, it shouldn't happen to anybody on listening to this show or speaking up all the time. First and foremost, non-threatening, positive messaging wins every time. I love Cecil's words on that. Number two, speak up about competitors, never down. Acknowledge concerns, don't defend against attacks. Remember, you can't explain value until you've earned trust and respect. Remember, your professionalism creates contrast. And there's how you respond proves who the client can or should trust. And remember, you win even when you lose the service order if you keep your talk up. And consider introducing yourself to chronic badmouthers or competitors or not yet colleagues in the industry. It humanizes the relationship and often stops any bad behavior. And just keep fostering those positive connections. Meet with other shops. Get them plugged in. Share the new podcast app. Good step one. Here's the bottom line, though. When competitors badmouth you, they're handing you an opportunity. Your professionalism in that moment proves to the client they made the right choice. Calling you, don't miss the opportunity to set yourself apart. If you have something to add, something you're curious about, something you'd like to talk about, email me here, speakup@craigoneill.net. O'Neill is O-N-E-I-L-L.net. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. And remember, listen up to the other shows on the ARPN, the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And once again, thank you so much to all of our sponsors at the Institute, Autoflow, Inbound, ShopDog Marketing, and Express. We really appreciate you joining us to make this show possible, and thank you to our listeners. And remember to go download the new app and get out there. Listen up, speak up, always. Up.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about.